So we are covering the prayers of Lord Brahma, how he's realized that Krishna is Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a lot of Sambandha Gyan, Sambandha Tattva. By becoming firmly rooted in Sambandha Gyan, understanding the full identity of Krishna with conviction and clarity, then one can easily increase his faith and stand any challenges he may meet. Oftentimes, in the course of advancing in Krishna Bhakti, we face various mental obstacles. There are sensual and physical obstacles, and mental obstacles, and then also intellectual obstacles. And these are encapsulated in Brahma Gayatri in the phrase Bhur Bhuvasva. Bhur Bhuvasva. Bhur means the sensual plane, the pushings of the senses, the karmendriya, the tongue, the belly, genital. They push us, the hands push us to touch, the legs push us to move. The tongue pushes us to eat and speak, belly to eat and genital to enjoy. So these are the physical sensations, the physical pushings, the obstacles and agitations that keep us from surrendering to Krishna and advancing, represented by Bhur, the earthly plane, Om Bhur, B-H-U-R, Bhur, Bhuvaswa. And then we come to Bhuva. Bhuva means the planetary region above the earth. There are some intermediate planets where pretas and bhutas and some kinnaras and other lower class beings that aren't actually celestials of the higher region, Chandralok, Maharlok, Tapalok, where they reside nearby the earth planet. So this is the mental layer, because hovering over the physical sensual body is the mind. Like a planet. The mind is like another planet whirling in its own orbit. The body is saying one thing and the mind is saying another. Or the mind is saying one thing and the body is saying another. The Christians have a phrase, the soul is willing, but the flesh is weak. My mind is one world of thoughts and conceptions spinning in its own orbit or in many orbits. Sometimes we say that someone is spaced out. They're in outer space, their mind is flying in the space area, in the ethers. And the mind is saying, yes, be a good devotee, be determined, be surrendered, be pure, be peaceful. And the body is saying, enjoy, relax, take it easy. First thing when we wake up in the morning, our mind turns on, bing! Our body turns on. Bing! We open our eyes. Bing! Ah! Haribo! Jai! Nitai Gaura Sundar Ki Jai! Giriraj Dharangi Jai! Radha Rani Gai! Jai Sri Radha! Jai Gurudev! Jai Prabhupada! As soon as we open our eyes, the mind opens up. Hello! Did you forget me? You had 6 hours of forgetfulness? I'm very much here. Okay. Oh, your alarm clock went off at 3 o'clock. And you want to get up. Oh, you're tired. You slept late last night. You worked so hard on Govardhan Parikrama. You need just a little more. Hit the snooze button. Come on, take it easy. Don't be so staunch and determined and convinced and surrendered. Take it easy. You got all day to chant your rounds and do what you have to do. You don't have much to do. Lots of free time, lots of maids, lots of assistants, lots of loopholes and no one breathing down your neck, no temple commanders sitting on your head. Hey! Mangalarti, temple, Tulsiarti, chant your rounds, service. Now you're on easy street. It's just you and me. Me and the mind, and the mind and me. This is Bhuva, the mental plane. So there are obstacles in the physical plane, the pushing of the lusty senses and the greedy mind. But then there's this, That's the earthly plane. This little bit higher plane, muva, then there's the mental obstacles. And then the swargaloka, the very high area. The high area of very discriminating beings, very highly developed beings live in swargaloka, Indra, Varuna, all these high class celestial beings. And this intellectual aspect of ourselves, we have to cross over all these coverings. These are koshas. Anamaya kosha, and manamaya kosha, and pranamaya kosha, the coverings of the pure atma. Bhur, om, bhur, bhuva, swa. And this intellectual layer, we face obstacles there also. It's called tattva vibhram, bewilderment about tattva, which means insufficient sambandha gyan, insufficient sambandha tattva. We're not really clear in our understanding of who we are or who is God. Then we go in the field and we meet opposition. Shiva is God! Oh, yeah, maybe he is God. Vishnu is God, not... I go to South India, everyone's telling me Vishnu is God, this Krishna is this fictitious character. Oh, I have doubts. Maybe Krishna's not God. He's the eighth avatar of Vishnu. Is Vishnu God or is it Brahma? Or then, no, Ram is supreme. Or is it Krishna? Or impersonalism is not that bad. Maybe it's better than personalism. So many confusions and doubts because we go in the field and we meet so many opposing views and conceptions, Buddhism and Advaitavad and so many things. So then we have to rely on our storage of sambandha gyan, our realization, our vigyan, bhakti vigyan, what we've accumulated in our sojourn of perfection. So therefore we can never be too self-confident that we know it all. Gyane priyasam rupasi namanta eva. No matter how much prayas or how much endeavor we use to attain knowledge, it's only by revelation. So therefore Brahma Stutis, although we're very interested in Raganuga Bhakti and Rasakata and Harikata and pastimes and Leela and all these things in Braj and Gaur Leela, but with Leela without a strong foundation of Tattva Siddhanta, it ends up in Sahajism, ends up in offenses, ends up in misconception and doubts, which haunt us on the mental platform. Doubts are mental obstacles and confusion, and then we can't surrender because our faith gets diluted in the presence of doubts. Therefore, a very deep study of Brahma's prayers, Brahma Stuti chapter 14, will fill in the gaps, strengthen our determination, and clarify our misconception, remove our misconceptions and misunderstandings of the Godhead, of Krishna's, because we hear of, just like the term Bhagavan is used for many people. All the Dasava, Bhagavan Narahari, Bhagavan Nrsingha, Bhagavan Meen, Bhagavan Narada, Bhagavan Vishnu, this term is Bhagavan. Okay, Bhagavan Sri Krishna Ki, Jai. But specifically, Vyasadeva distinguishes, he's Swayam Bhagavan. He's Swayam, and even Krishna, he's the origin of all, and even he himself is expansion, Swayam Prakash. In the Rasa dance, there was one Krishna in the middle of the rasa dance, that's Swayam Bhagavan. But then his Swayam Prakash were his direct manifestations. They looked like Krishna, but there was something missing, something a little less. And they danced to all the other gopis. But his original form, just like Radharani, is Swayam Shakti. And then she expanded her swarup. She expanded into these other gopis. All these other gopis are expansions of Radharani. But the original form of Radharani is a Krishna. And Vaibhav Prakash, Balaram is Vaibhav Prakash. It's actually said in Lago Bhagavatamrita and Chaitanya Charitamrita that Vasudeva Krishna in Vrindavan, the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, he is the Vaibhav Prakash of Krishna in Vrindavan. And just like Balaram is also Vaibhav Prakash. He's very similar, some slight difference. He's white and this and that. He's called Vaibhav. It says that Krishna, Balaram in Vrindavan is equal to the Vaibhav Prakash of Krishna equal to Vasudeva Krishna in Mathura, in Dwarka. That's some technicality. So there's different expansions even of Krishna. Vaibhav Prakash, Prakash Rup, the Swayam Rup, and Tadekatmik Rup. This is all described. But amongst the different forms of Purushottam, there's Purushottam Ram, there's Maryada Purushottam, everyone's heard about, and there's Aishwarya Purushottam Narayan Vishnu. But then there's Madhurya Purushottam. So, okay, I worship Ram. He's in the rules and regulations. He's a law god, lawmaker god. He's a law and order god. And you worship the sweet god, the sweet coward boy, the Gopal, the stealing Makanchur, and Rasaraj, and Rasabihari. Okay, so what? He's Purushottam. So it seems it's all one, but Rama, that's why in this chapter he's establishing, no, it's not all one, that Krishna is the supreme Purushottam. He is to be worshipped in Purushottam Adhikamas. He's the extra Lord. Adhika means extra, and he's the extra Lord. He's the Lord with a little more. Adhik means extra, so the month when you worship the extra Lord, every month you worship the Lord. The Lord, your Ishtadev, your personal Ishtadev, your Swaishta. Your personal Ishta, you worship 12 months a year. But in this Purushottam Adhikamas, this is the month when we worship, to extra worship and extra puja to the extra Lord, Adhik. He's the extra Bhagavan, Adhik Bhagavan. Adhik Bhagavan is Purushottam Sri Krishna. He's more than Ram, he's more than Vishnu and Ryan and all the Das avatars. He's not Bhagavan, he's Swayam Bhagavan, which distinguishes him. He's a source of all the other Bhagavans. There are various expansions of his. And then he's not Purushottam, he's the Adi Purushottam. He's the Supreme Purushottam. He's also, because he's Madhurya Purushottam, because this is the original feature of God. Original feature of God. The Swayam Bhagavan is Madhurya Sri Krishna. And he's the source of Maryada Purushottam. He's the source of Aishwarya Purushottam. So when we say that Krishna is Madhurya, it doesn't mean, oh, he's Madhurya, my God is Maryada, my God's Aishwarya, they're all equal. No, they're all Vishnu Tattva, but they're all expansions and subservient to and dependent on Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So Adhik means Krishna has more, he's extra. And that's explained in Nectar Devotion. Demigods, they're also sometimes called Bhagavan, Bhagavan Shiva, Bhagavan Brahma, but they only have 55 qualities. 84% of the qualities of Krishna. The living entities, the jivas, can have a minute proportion of 78% of the qualities, 50 qualities. Because 50 over 64 is 78%. And 60 over 70, over 55 over 64 is 84%. But then now Vishnu, oh yes, you worship Aishwarya Purushottam, Vishnu, all over South India, all over the world, Fiji, everywhere they have Vishnu temples, Angkor Wat or something in Cambodia. There's some huge temple, the biggest Vishnu temple outside of India is in Cambodia. It's called Angkor Wat or something like Angkor or whatever. And there, it's Vishnu, Aishwarya Vishnu, Aishwarya Purushottam. But he only has 93% of the qualities of Krishna. 60 qualities, yes? It's the Nectar of Devotion and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So now, who has extra qualities? The Adhik Bhagavan, the Adhik Purushottam, Adhik Purushottam Bhagavan Sri Krishna Ki Jai. So the Adhik Bhagavan, who is worshipped by everyone in Adhik Mas, even the demigod worshippers and the smartas are forced to worship Krishna this month. Because all pujas, yagyas, homas, pravesas, karmakandiya, any kind of smarta pujas and yagyas, they're all nishfal in the month of Purushottam. It's called Mal Mas. Mal means dirty, contaminated, useless for them. So their karma kanda activities are useless. They will bear no fruit if they engage in these big yagyas. So they all take a vacation, come to Vrindavan and do Giriraj Parikrama. And they worship Giriraj Dharana Ki. Giriraj Baba Ki. Jai Jai Shri Radhe Shyam. So he's Adhik Bhagavan. Adhik Purushottam Sri Krishna, because he has Leela Purushottam Bhagavan, Leela Madhurya Purushottam, Prema Madhurya Purushottam, Vena Madhurya Purushottam, and Rupa Madhurya Purushottam. Four extra qualities and unlimited proportions that Vishnu ain't got. I mean, Vishnu doesn't have. And Ram doesn't have. So let's hear the finishing of this verse 3, Vishnu Chakravarti. He explains these words. Tanu, Van, Manobi are connected to this first, this is third line, they're connected to the word Namanta. He explains, because the first line ends in Namanta, Namanta Jivanti San Mukaritam Bhavadiya Vartam. that an intelligent person, jnane priyasam, he will give up the endeavor to understand Krishna with his own mind and mental, intellectual powers. And rather, he will search out somebody who actually knows Krishna, the tattvadarshis, those that are seeing Krishna and are realized, vijnanis, bhakti vijnanis, to actually understand the science of Krishna consciousness. They say, listen, I tried to figure out Krishna on my own, with my logic, with naya, and with my own understanding, powers of discrimination. And it escapes me. I couldn't figure it out. So I surrendered to the sants, to the saints. Namanta jivanti sanmukaritam. The satmukarita, the sadhus, their mouth, mukaritam, they're speaking bhavadiya vartam, they're speaking all about Krishna. So I'm hearing from them, and I'm offering obeisance to them and to their harikata. But Vishnu says this word namanta also refers to the third line, tano mano, and he says like this, devotees can take full advantage of the transcendental topics of the Lord. Now I have given up jnane prayasam, prayas, that immediate endeavor, independent endeavor to understand God without mercy, without help. Rugged individualist. I am a self-made man. I started with nothing, and I had 5 rupees to invest, and now I'm a crorapati. Let's turn that up a little bit. So this is not, in this area of realizing Krishna, there's no such thing as a self-made Mahabhagavat. We have to become self-surrendered. We have to surrender ourselves, not make ourselves. It's not aroha panta, not send ourselves upwards. We have to wait for descension of knowledge. Knowledge comes down from above. Rain falls down from the cloud, not up from the earth. Rain is mercy. The rain of mercy comes from up, down, not down, up. So the clouds are the devotees. They're merciful cloud-like personalities. And they're carrying inside their hearts Ganesham, Govinda Vishram. Ganesham Radhe Radhe, Ganesham Radhe Radhe. Ganesham Radhe Radhe, Ganesham Radhe Radhe. Nikunja me viraje, Ganesham Radhe Radhe. Nikunja me viraje, Ganesham Radhe Radhe. So Ganesham means that it's another name for a rain cloud. Gana means rus, Ganaras, thickly saturated with condensed sham ras, sham prem. And those devotees, when they meet some eager, lightning-like devotee, they get sparked, they get inspired, and they open their floodgates and they pour down the rain of mercy, avaroha panta, descending mercy, descending knowledge. Knowledge comes from up, down. Evam brahm pra praptam imam rajarsha yovidu sakalena mahata yoganasya prantama. Imam rajarsha yovidu sakalena mahata. It comes from Krishna to Brahma to Nara to Vyas, like this. Or it comes from Krishna to Suryadeva, then the Ikshvaku and Manu, and comes on down into the human society. From up down. So surrendering to their mercy. So Vishwanath Chakravartipad, he says that namanta means we find these devotees, sat-mukaritam, sat-muka. The sat means the sadhu, the person representing eternity, the person who has discovered eternity, the person who has surrendered to eternity. He has absorbed in infinity. He's realized the absolute truth. And all that comes from his mouth is words of glorification of the absolute truth. Kutama shoku gunana vadat. Just glories of the Lord coming from his mouth continuously. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Kirtaniya Sadahari. He's always chanting the Kirti. Kirti means the glories, the fame, the mahima, the power, the greatness, the grandeur, the sweetness, opulence, attractiveness, beauty and charm of Krishna. Is always pouring forth from his mouth. Kirti. Kirti. Kirtan. Tan. Kirtaniya Sadahari. So I'm sitting with them, and I'm hearing so many wonderful topics with my ears, and I'm doing manana, harikata manana. Manana means contemplation, receiving something, securing it, receiving through the ears, holding with the mind, securing it with your intelligence, and reflecting on it with your heart. This is manana. Harikata manana. Very nice sequence. And then when that, in the inner chambers of our heart, we deeply reflect on what we've acquired and held and heard. And then we get revelations and we feel awed by it. We feel amazed by the revelations and illuminations that have been given to us by the Lord in the heart, Chaturbhuj Narayan, who no longer is Chaturbhuj Narayan. Somehow along the way he lost two arms. And the remaining two arms that are meant to embrace his devotees and make a victory call for the devotees, they're holding a lotus flower and a conch shell. He's abandoned his chakra and club because those are for the demons, and the devotee's not a demon. So there's no need to beat up the devotee with a club and a chakra. But there's need to soothe the devotee from within the heart with the fragrance of the lotus flower in his hand. And there's a need to wake up the devotee when he veers off the path with the conch shell in the other hand of Vishnu in the heart. And then, as the devotee surrenders more and more, the Dvibhuj, or two-armed form Narayan, becomes Krishna, Shamsundar, Govinda Damodar Madhava. And then the lotus flower remains in Krishna's left hand, and then the conch shell is replaced by the Vamshi. And this, everything becomes sweet. Madaram, madaram, madaram. Venam, madaram, lila, madaram. Rupam, madaram, ven. Everything is sweet, and that sweet Lord in the heart that some of our famous musicians sang about. My sweet Lord in the heart, my Govinda, my Damodar, my Madhav, my Giridhari. They start to soothe the devotee and speak to the devotee. So Vishnu says that Namanta, tan mano, tan van manobir, body, tanu, van, words, and mind. Namanta, as the devotee associates with these sadhus, satmukaritam, he takes full advantage of the transcendental topics of the Lord by offering his respects to those topics. He offers respects to the topics with his body, his words, and his mind. One should engage his body by touching the ground with his hands and head while offering obeisances to the topics of the Lord. One should engage his words by praising transcendental literature such as the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Granthiraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Gita Upanishad Bhagavad Gita ki. He should glorify and praise the Gita and Bhagavat as well as the Bhagavatas, the devotees who are preaching such literatures. So the devotees or preacher, the preachers should be glorified, not offended. Satam Nindam. Sarunindam. What is it? That's the first verse. The first offense of the holy name. Sarunindam. Sarunindam should be Sarukirti. Sarukirtanam. We do Sarunindanam. Sarunindanam. Instead of doing Sarunindanam, Sarunindha, we should do Sarukirtanam. Sarukirtanam means to glorify his devotees. And Prabhupada elaborated that offense and made it Vaishnava oriented by saying, Saru, because sadhus are so many holy men and we shouldn't offend any of them. But in a translation, extra devotion, one should not offend the devotees of the Lord who are engaged in spreading the transcendental glories of the Lord around the world. Well, not all sadhus are preachers of Krishna consciousness. They may be Advaitin sadhus or Mayavadis. But at least they're holy men surrendered to transcendence and endeavoring to realize God in his Brahman features. So they're to be respected, never offended. Shouldn't offend any living entity. But Sarukirtanam, this is recommended because they're speaking the topics of the Bhagavatam and the Gita. So we use our words, our van should be used to glorify, to praise the transcendental literatures. That's also one of the offenses. We do the opposite. Instead of doing Sarukirtanam, glorifying the devotees who are speaking Bhagavat and Bhagavatam, we do Sarunindanam. We blaspheming them. First offense. And then instead of doing Shastra Kirtanam, glorifying the Shastras like Gita Upanishad and Grantharaj Bhagavatam, we do Shastra Vagya. We do Shastra Nindanam. That's the fourth offense, isn't it? To blaspheme the Vedic literature and literature in pursuance to the Vedic version is the fourth offense against the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So Vishnath is saying, Namanta, Namanta means respect. You show respect with your words, you show respect with your body. And finally he says that Namanta, Namanta Manobir, in relation to these points, is that one should engage his mind by feeling great reverence and pleasure while hearing the transcendental topics of the Lord. In this way, a sincere devotee who has acquired even a small amount of transcendental knowledge about Lord Krishna can conquer Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead, for eternal life at the side of the Lord. Krishna Pasmehe. Next to the Lord. Krishna Kesat. Krishna is my bosom buddy, my sidekick. He's right by my side. Loving embrace of the lost servant, Gopal Kumar and Gopal, finally met after a long sojourn back home to this planet and this post and that post, and finally back home, back to Godhead, back to the loving embrace of the Lord forever. Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki. It was very nice, the transcendental insight of Vishnu Chakravartipada, that he's mixing and matching different lines, different padas of the shloka, the first pada and the third pada. Jnane priyasamura pasya namante eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shutigatam tanovan menobhir ye prayasho chita chitopi yasitaistra lokyam. First line namanta eva, third line tanovan menobhir. So shutigatam stane stita. One should go and hear these topics. But he's saying that, yes, we should go to where the sadhus are speaking Harikata, the Bhagavatam class, the Pandal program, the Bhagavat Sapta, wherever they're speaking these sacred holy books of Granth Raj Bhagavatam. And there's a three-step approach. You first approach the Harikata with your body. We don't fly in there on the mental platform. We walk to the Bhagavat Peet. The Bhagavad Peet, or the place where the Bhagavad is spoken. Our legs carry us there. And when we get there, we shouldn't just walk in, well, hi, Pandaji, sit down. We should actually go, as soon as we arrive at that sacred pandal, or that sacred assembly where the Bhagavad is being spoken, in a mandir, or in a pandal, or in a hall, or whatever, we should pay obeisances to the Bhagavad Stan, where it's being spoken. Pay obeisances to all the devotees who have gathered there to hear the Harikata. All those chattaki-like birds are going to exist in that sweet nectar falling from the cloud-like devotees of the Lord speaking the Bhagavata. And that's what we do with our namanta tanu. That's offering obeisances with our bodies. Literally, we offer obeisances. We don't just stroll into the temple room, okay, there's Bhagavatam class. Here's my seat. I always sit in this corner near Radha Shyam's altar. Here's my little spot. Oh, somebody's sitting in my spot. And our mind gets all flipped out because we're attached to that piece of cement or piece of marble. We're so silly. Hey, why are you sitting in my spot? We kind of perch on one branch of a tree and claim it as our own. You see people do that. They sit in the same spot every day. Then by chance someone else sits there. Hey! That's my spot. Although it's a public temple room, but somehow this ego extends everywhere. I own the whole world. My ego goes universal. Everything is mine. I own everything. That's a side point. But how many, when they approach that sacred assembly, where the august assembly, the Raja Vaishnava Raja Sabha, the Vaishnava Raja Sabha, Sabha means the assembly of Vaishnavas, not just Vaishnavas, but Raja Vaishnavas. These kingly, glorified, most exalted Vaishnavas are gathered here to hear this Harikata, this beautiful, sweet message of the Bhagavatam and Gita. We just come strolling up. Okay, where's my seat? Oh, we with the utmost humility, and our body should be expressing the inner humility and the inner hankering and appreciation, gratitude we have for being able to take part in such holy discussions. And anyway, we're so fortunate. So as we approach that Bhagavad Pit, and even from a distance, we say, oh, there's the Pandal. And we pay obeisances to the Pandal or the temple or the temple room. And as we get closer and we can see all the devotees, these swan-like devotees, beautiful swan-like devotees assembled there, these Paramahamsas. Says that this Paramahamsa Satam, that this Bhagavatam has been for the Paramahamsas. So when we see them all assembled there, then we go closer and we offer obeisances at the very edge, at the very edge of the class where everyone's assembled. And look at all these beautiful saintly devotee ladies and saintly devotee men. And there's the Bhagavad speaker. So we offer obeisances with our body, Namanta. Namanta Vapu. Namanta Tanu. We offer obeisances with our body to the assembly of Vaishnava Raja Sabha, and then to the holy speaker, the representative of Sukadeva and Vyas, sitting on the glorious Vyasasan. Then we move closer and we offer obeisance to the deities that we're sitting in front of. And then we offer to the holy Bhagavatam, who is Radha and Krishna. So now we're ready. And then another thing we may, if we're going to see afterwards, after the Harikatha, we can glorify with our words Namanta Van or Vachobir. We can say, oh, that Panditji was such a glorious devotee, speaking so wonderfully in the Bhagavatam, wasn't he? He made such a nice point, this point. Yes, yes, yes. And then in our mind, we can sit very attentive, we are very surrendered and humble mood in our mind, a very respectful and open mood, so we can hear very nicely the topics and later do Bhagavad Gita Manana, which I said deeply reflect within the core of our heart on all the sacred, sublime topics that we heard in that class. And when we have that type of sincerity, that type of namanta, Vishnu's talking about, this Tano Van Manobi Namanta, offering obeisances, physical obeisances with the body, mental obeisances with the mind, and verbal obeisances with the words, then Krishna's in the heart, he becomes tushti. He becomes satisfied. Yes. You know Vaishnav Sadachar. Your body moves like a Vaishnav. Your words move like a Vaishnav. Your mind moves like a Vaishnav. Therefore, Yayatam Mamvrapadyante. As you surrender unto me and my devotees, I will surrender unto you. And then all of a sudden, when we leave the Bhagavatam class, we get such sweet revelations, such divine illuminations that encourage us and remove our doubts and give us clarity of thought and hope in the heart and it's devotional inspiration and potency to push on and spread on and carry on. Now we want to backtrack a little bit and just compare and contrast Srila Prabhupada's presentation in his Krishna book, his translation of these same verses, which is sometimes a little bit of a summary of some of the Sanskrit, but his wording is very nice, and he has very unique tikkas and purports, which we'll hear something about. And it's a nice way to expand our study. We have this Bhana Maharaj has brought out this Sartha Darshini. And the Sartha Darshini has all Vishnu's commentaries. And then we have Prabhupada's commentaries in Krishna book, which are unique and special. We'll explain why. And then we have the commentaries that the Prabhupada's disciples have included in the BBT Bhagavatam, which are the synthesis of Jiva Goswami's commentaries, Sanatana Goswami's commentaries, Sridhar Swami's commentaries, and Vishwanath, which are often already woven in Prabhupada's Krishna book. And sometimes the Godbrothers, or the principal translators and commentaries on the 10th, 11th, 12th canto, sometimes when they're writing the Tika, or explaining the Tika, they say, in this regard, in this verse of 10th canto, Prabhupada says this in Krishna book. And then they simply quote Prabhupada's Krishna book, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So let's see what... I'll read the first verse again from the BBT from Prabhupada's disciples. Verse 1. Nomidyate bra Apushe Tadambaraya. This is verse 1 of chapter 14. This is a review. Brahma said, "My dear Lord Krishna, Gopal, you are the only worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I offer my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. O son of the king of the cowherds, Pashupangajai. Pashupa, Pashupangajai. Pashupangajai. O son of the cowherds, I offer my obeisances to you. Your transcendental body is dark blue like a new rain cloud. Your beautiful garments, your chadar and your dhoti are glimmering and shimmering brilliant like lightning. And the beauty of your face is enhanced by the red and black gunja berries, earrings, and the iridescent bluish green peacock feathers shining on your topknot. Wearing garlands of various flowers, Vanamala, Manamali Krishna Ki Jai, and Vaijayanti Mala, garlands of various forest flowers and leaves, and equipped," that's interesting, "equipped or carrying a herding stick, a buffalo horn and a flute, you stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your left hand." So this is the translation of verse 1. Very accurate translation, including and depicting the scene very nicely and very perfectly. Nice Sanskrit. All the words are there. Now let's hear Srila Prabhupada's. Of course, these are translations by Prabhupada's disciples, or like rays of mercy. Kripa Kiran. Kripa Kiran means a ray of mercy. Prabhupada Kripa Kiran. Kiran means a ray. So these the disciples of Prabhupada, those special fortunate people, they're like Prabhupada Kripa Kiran. They're like rays of mercy from Prabhupada's sun-like heart, Krishna Surya Samamayai Andhakara. Because the son of Krishna, the Krishna's son, is certainly fully risen in the heart of Srila Prabhupada, Krishna Surya Samamayai Andhakara. And the full moon of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Mayapur Chandra Udai. Mayapur Chandra Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki. So Mayapur Chandra Udai, the full moon, the soothing and satisfying and enervating and nourishing moon of Lord Chaitanya rising over the Ganga, over the plains beside the Ganga in the holy land of Mayapur, that full moon of Lord Chaitanya is also simultaneously rising in the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Because of that, he is shining his rays of his full moon, Chandra Kripa Kiran, Prabhupada's moon of rays of moon, mercy moon of Prabhupada. Prabhupada Chandra Kripa Kiran, the rays of Prabhupada's mercy coming from his moon-like heart, because he's giving us the mercy of Krishna Chandra. And Prabhupada's giving us the mercy of Gaura Chandra, Mayapur Chandra, Gaura Chandra. Srila Prabhupada Ki. And therefore, the disciples have translated like this. Now Srila Prabhupada, let's hear his translation from Krishna book to verse 1 and 2. Prabhupada is the source of the ray. He is the sun which a ray emanates. A ray is his disciple. So the rays have done a good job to translate. Let's hear the Bhaktivedanta Bhava Tikas, the transcendental love-filled commentaries. Prabhupada's commentaries are full of his love, his loving ecstasies for the Lord and loving attachment. And Prabhupada's translations are full of his bhava also, isn't it? So disciples have some bhava, but and some bhakti, some guru bhakti. And who am I to say what the disciples have that worked on this book, Bhagavatam? But I can say with conviction that none of Prabhupada's disciples can ever equal Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's translating, Brahma's saying like this. Brahma's, the first prayer that Brahma offered to Krishna after this Brahma Vimohan Leela, verse 1 of chapter 14 is translated like this by Srila Prabhupada. "My dear Lord, you are the only worshipable Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead. Therefore, I am offering my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. That's the same so far. That's BBT. Your bodily features are the color of clouds filled with water. I always find that Prabhupada's translations are a little more simple and a little more sweet. Simple and sweet. Preem filled, and what a tasty treat. Prabhupada's translation, simple and sweet and full of preem. What a tasty treat. Your bodily features are of the color of clouds filled with water. And they say, BBT, your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. If you compare the two, somehow my heart and my makes an alliance. My heart makes an alliance with my ears and seems to put in a vote for Prabhupada's phrase. Your bodily features are of the color of clouds filled with water. Ras. Rasamayi Krishna. Rasaratri Krishna ki. You are glittering. Now listen, now watch this sentence. Krishna, Gopal, you are glittering with a silver electric aura emanating from your yellow garments. Prabhupada. Silver electric aura. Sounds like some psychedelic language from the hippie days of the 60s. When Prabhupada wrote the Krishna book in 1969, the comment translation and commentaries, it stands the test of all time, every time, all places. But now if we want to get an objective conclusion here, they're both perfect. Both translations are perfect, both are sweet. But like everything, it's individual. You like Rasgullas, I like Burfi. Somebody likes Sandesh, and somebody else likes, Kulfi. So it's sweet. It's Mahaprasad. Jagannath Mahaprasad Gajra, Jagannath Mahaprasad Kheer, Jagannath Mahaprasad Khichdi. We'll take anything we can get. With great appreciation, great relish. But it seems if you say, Krishna's garment, Krishna, you're glittering with a silver electric aura emanating from your yellow garments. That seems to be really full of love and full of appreciation. And it seems to be spoken by someone who's having sakshat darshan of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. He definitely is having direct darshan of what he knows what he's talking about. There's one thing knowing what you're talking about, and then there's another thing seeing what you're talking about. Knowing what you're talking about is gyan. Seeing what you're talking about is tattva vigyan. There's tattva gyan and tattva vigyan. And another way of saying tattva vigyan is tattva darshan. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshana. He's seeing the truth. And who is the absolute truth personified? Sri Krishna ki jai. So when we see the truth, we will see a silver electric aura emanating from Krishna's yellow dhoti pitambara. Tadit Suvarna Champaka, Tadit Ambara. Tadit Ambara means lightning-like dhoti. Let's go on. Let me offer my repeated obeisances unto the son of Maharaj Nanda. And then they say, O son of the king of cowherds, Prabhupada is a Brijvasi. Prabhupada is come from the inner circle of Radha's servant Kinkaris and the inner circle of Krishna's Sakas. He's come down, descended to this world to save us. The king of the cowherds? I'm a personalist. Wherever I see the word Bhagavan, I say Krishna. Wherever I see the word God, I say Krishna. This is Prabhupada. And everywhere in Prabhupada's books is Krishna, 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 Krishna. Prabhupada, you can't read two sentences without finding the word Krishna, 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 Krishna. Because this is Nam Sankirtan, this is Kali Yuga. And Prabhupada is started the International Society for Absolute Truth Consciousness, or Transcendental Autocrat Consciousness, for the Supreme Lord Consciousness. No, for Krishna, not God Consciousness, but for Krishna Consciousness. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, hey, Krishna, hey, Krishna, hey, Krishna, hey, Krishna, Krishna, hey. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Raja. Rakshama, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rama Raghava, Rakshama. Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Krishna Keshava, Pahima. Krishna, 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 hey. Radha, 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 hey. Radha, 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 hey. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada's sweet translations. Sweet, sweet, sweet. So Prabhupada is saying, when Prabhupada is speaking Brahma's prayers and translating him, he's becoming tadatmika with Brahma. He's tadatmika with the pure heart of Brahma. He's tadatmika with the Leela, Leela tadatmika. He's seeing this Leela. He's seeing Brahma Vibhavan Leela. Where? Here in Aprakat Vrindavan, yes. But he's seeing the Leela happening in another universe when he was translating this book in New York in 1969. Prabhupada was sitting in New York entering the Nitya Leela Pravesh, and the Aprakat Leela on some other planet. He's there standing next to Brahma. And as Brahma's offering these prayers to Gopal, and Prabhupada's translating, Prabhupada is entering into the heart of Brahma, entering into the mood of the Leela, entering into the mood of Krishna, and the reciprocation of Ras between the devotee and the Lord. And when Brahma is saying, let me offer my respectful repeated obeisances, Prabhupada is feeling, yes, and that, yes, Brahma, you're offering, I'm also, let me, Srila Prabhupada, let me offer my respected obeisance, repeated obeisances unto the son of Maharaj Nanda. And the Nandalal says Pashupa, says Pashupanga Jaya. Anga means limb of, Jaya means judge. Jaya means it's the last word in the verse. Pashupa means pa, protector of the animals, the cows. Anga means a limb of, Jaya. So a limb or a son or a part. Angaja means he's taken birth. Angaja means he's taken birth as a son of the protector of the cows or the. Or the king of the cowards. That's very nice. But the king has a name. And Prabhupada, that's Prabhupada's among those devotees. That's his family. He's an Achyuta Gotra. He's liberated his soul from the spiritual world. So he knows Nanda Maharaj is his friend. He knows him very well. He sees him every day. The Bengali in Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Nam Sankirtan. Lord Chaitanya engaged in Nam Sankirtan. Where is this Nam Sankirtan? Srila Prabhupada translates, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Because this is the only Sankirtan we know. This is the only name we know. And in fact, in the Sandarvas by Jiva and other places, it establishes that the supreme form of Bhagavan, he has Ananta Rupam, Ananta Leelam, Ananta Nam. This Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nijasarva Shaktis. Even Krishna says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has so many names. Akari Bahuda. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda. Bahuda, I have many, many names I've given. But even the Acharyas and Goswamis and Shastras proclaim the supreme name which describes Krishna to the fullest extent is Krishna. K-R-S-N-A, Krishna. And Hari is the supreme name which describes Krishna in relation to Radha. Because he steals the heart of Radharani with his flute playing and his everything about him. Hari, Hari. So Hare Krishna, when we talk about Nam Sankirtan, what's the supreme form of Nam? Krishna. The supreme Nam is Krishna and Hari. And what's the supreme form of Sankirtan or Nam Sankirtan? Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So there's nothing wrong. It's actually perfect. Realized Siddhanta, realized translation. When Prabhupada automatically uses poetic license, you might call it, to translate Nam Sankirtan. Because of course we know, everyone knows, Prabhupada knows also. But he's preaching. Lord Chaitanya came to preach. He's teaching and relishing at the same time. Everyone knows when Lord Chaitanya was traveling through South India, he was chanting Hare Krishna, but he's also chanting Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Nama Gopala Govindaram Sri Madhusudan Krishna 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 Krishna. These are also Nam Sankirtan, and Krishna is there. Krishna is also there. So in the same way, it says Pashupangajai. Prabhupada says, oh, that's nice. And Prabhupada knows Sanskrit. Yes, it means the son of the king of the cowards. Well, let's get to the point. That's Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Baba Ki. Yeah. Let me offer my respectful repeated obeisances. Who is standing before me with a conch shell, earrings, and peacock feather on his head. He's standing before me with conch shell, earrings, peacock feather on his head. Krishna's face is beautiful. He is wearing a helmet garlanded with forest flowers, and he stands with a morsel of food in his hand. He is decorated with a cane, a buffalo horn bugle, and a flute. He stands before me with small lotus feet. This is the end of verse 1. Let's see what Prabhupada says for verse number 2. My dear Lord, people say that I am the master of all Vedic knowledge, and that I am supposed to be the creator of this universe. But it has been proved now that I cannot understand your personality, even though you're present before me like a child. He paraphrases Brahma by saying, Krishna, you're playing with your boyfriend's calves and cows, which might imply that you do not have sufficient education. You flunked out of school, so all you can do is play all day and chase animals. And yet there is so much difference between your body and mind, your body and mine, that I cannot estimate, as I have already explained in the Brahma Samhita. In the Brahma Samhita, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibha Vitavis, or Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha, in the Brahma Samhita it is stated that the body of the Lord is all spiritual. There is no difference between the Lord's body and His self. Each limb of Krishna's body can perform actions of all the others. Krishna can see with his hands, hear with his eyes, and accept offerings with his legs, and create with his mouth. Brahma continued, which is just Prabhupada's further explanation. Your appearance as a coward child for the benefit of your devotees, and although I've committed offenses at your lotus feet by stealing away your cows, boys, and calves, I can understand it. You have mercy on me. That is your transcendental quality, because this verse says anugraha. Verse number 2. It talks about this anugraha. Anugraha, as we mentioned before. Mada anugraha means mercy. That is your transcendental quality. You are very affectionate towards your devotees. In spite of your affection for me, I cannot estimate the potency of your bodily activities. It is to be understood that when I, Brahma, the Supreme Personality of this universe, cannot estimate the childlike body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what to speak of others? If I can't estimate the spiritual potency of your childlike body, then what can I understand about your transcendental pastimes? Therefore, as it is stated in the Gita, of course, this is not Brahma now. This is Prabhupada. That was Prabhupada paraphrasing. There was no Gita yet. And Prabhupada goes on, that was Tika to this verse number 2 from 10:14. Anyone who can understand a little of the transcendental pastimes, appearance and disappearance of the Lord becomes immediately eligible to enter the kingdom of God after quitting his material body. That's Janma Karma Chamedivyam. This is also confirmed in the Vedas. Simply by understanding God, one can overcome the chain of repeated birth and death. I therefore recommend that people should not try to understand you by their speculative knowledge. So Prabhupada is, sometimes it's Brahma speaking, sometimes Prabhupada speaking through Brahma's mouth. He's kind of, because sometimes, I mean, this is Brahma's statement in this verse that no one can estimate your potency only by your mercy. And then Prabhupada says, yes, therefore in the Gita it says, well, Brahma is not quoting the Gita because it's not spoken yet. So that's the end of verse 2. Very interesting presentation of Prabhupada's paraphrasing and rephrasing what Brahma says in verse 2, and then kind of having Brahma speak some Bhagavad Gita verses about Janma Karma Chinavedam. Now this is text 3, just to bring us up to date here. Gyane prayasam rupasinamante va jivanti san mukaritam vavadiya vartam stane stita shruti gatam tanuvan manobir ye ye prayasho jita jitopi asitais tralokyam. Now Prabhupada explains. Brahma said, the best process of understanding you is to submissively give up the speculative process and try to hear about you either from yourself, as you have given statements in the Gita and many similar Vedic literatures, or by hearing from realized devotee who has taken shelter at your lotus feet. One has to hear from a devotee without speculation. One does not even need to change his worldly position. He simply has to hear your message. Although you are not understandable by the material senses, simply by hearing about you, one can gradually conquer the ignorance of misunderstanding. By your grace only, you become revealed to a devotee. You are unconquerable by any other means. One can gradually conquer the nescience of misunderstanding. Nescience means ignorance. By your grace only, you become revealed to a devotee. You are unconquerable by any other means. Otherwise unconquerable by anyone, they say. Now Prabhupada gives a very nice explanation here. Tika. Short one. Speculative knowledge without any trace of devotional service is simply a useless waste of time and search for you. Anya bilashita shunyam. Anya bilashitashinam jnana karmadyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttamam. Uttama bhakti is free from avritam, coverings of jnana and karma. Sense endeavors for sense pleasure or mental endeavors to individually understand God. Just surrender to everything favorable for the Lord. For the Lord's pleasure. Let's read verse 4. In Brahma's prayers, they actually, chapter 1 through 14 of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam is Krishna's Balya Leela, from birth until 5. Chapter 14 to maybe chapter 20 is Krishna's Pogunda Leela, which is mostly Chatikar, Vrindavan, Raman Reti Govardhan Leela, from the age of 5 until 10. I mean, yeah, 5 to 10. And then Kaishora Leela is chapter 21 to 38. I mean, Vrindavan, Kaishora Leela. 38 is when Akura came to take Krishna out of Vrindavan. Chapter 21 is the Veno Gita. So Krishna became a young boy with the Veno Gita. So 21 to 38 is Kishore Lila. 15 chapters Bali Lila, and about 14 chapters Boganda Lila, and about 17 chapters Kishore Lila. 38 chapters of Krishna Vrindavan, Vrindavan Sri Krishna. This is Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Kavi Karnapur, he doesn't take Krishna out of Vrindavan. Ananda Vrindavan Champu. He says, there's no, Krishna never went to Mathura, never went to Dwarka, never went to Kurukshetra. He's always in Vrindavan. So there you have commentaries and elaborations of different chapters of the 10th canto of the Vrindavan Leela, with Julin Leela thrown in, and also holy little extra Leelas, because they're so sweet and they're typically Vrindavan Leelas. So in these verses, on Brahma Stuti, verse 1 is on page 3. Page 7, let's see, page 7, we haven't come there yet. Page 7 is verse 3, and in page 7 they say, hearing of the Lord from pure souls is the only way to conquer Him. And that, so that indicates page 7, that subtitle from chapter 14, Brahma Stuti. I have a little note here in the index, and it says, by hearing this chapter 14, Brahma Stuti, Brahma's prayers of the Lord Krishna, this will remove all doubts and establish the conclusion of bhakti tattva, bhakti tattva sar. Sar means essence, or bhakti tattva siddhanta. Siddhanta actually means conclusion. Bhakti siddhanta. Bhakti tattva sar, the essence of all conclusions, or established the conclusion that will remove all doubts. By hearing and studying chapter 14, it will remove all our doubts and establish, and will become established in the proper conclusions of devotional service, bhakti-tattva, bhakti-tattva-vedanta, or bhakti-tattva-siddhanta. This is a very nice understanding. So this third verse we talked about, jivanti san makaritam, hearing from the saints. And I think we'll start tomorrow with verse 4. Shriyas shritim bhaktim dasyate vibho. Shreyas shritim bhaktim buddhasyate vibho kashyanti ye kevala bhoda labdaye tesham aso kleshala eva shlishyate ananyad yata stula tushavagatinam. Talks about bhakti. Bhakti, devotion, is the best path. Shreyas shritim bhaktim udasya tevi bo. So we'll hear that verse tomorrow by the mercy of Lord Brahma and Srila Prabhupada and all the assembled devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.